year, a new chapter in the prophet Isaiah. A wonderful chapter, which will take a few weeks to get through, I believe, because of all the truth that it contains. Wonderful truth, hopefully, as we will see this morning in the opening six verses concerning the Lord Jesus himself. But let us read the entire chapter to see where we're going in this new chapter. The Word of God, Isaiah chapter 49. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb, to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorified in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. That thou mayest say to the prisoner, Go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be on all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heaven, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forgotten me, hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that make thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places in the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the others shall say again in thine ears, The place is too strait for me to give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, Who hath begotten me? Who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of the feet of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Much truth in this chapter. May God help us as we consider but a portion of it this morning. You may be seated. As I begin a new chapter in Isaiah this morning, the chapter that I have just read, Isaiah 49, my intention is to focus your attention this morning on the first six verses of this chapter. And in so doing, there are two things that I want to mention by way of introduction. The first is the Bible, the infallible written word of God, is addressed to all men. Even though all men will not receive the Bible as the written infallible word of God, this does not mean that it therefore stops either being the infallible written word of God or stops speaking to all men. This can be seen not only by the last verse of the previous chapter, but notice the first verse that begins chapter 49. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from afar. For even though the prophets like Isaiah spoke very clearly to the people of God, the Lord through Isaiah also clearly addresses all men. O isles, in the opening of verse 1, listen, O isles. O isles is a biblical reference to the Gentile nations. You can see this by Genesis 10, verse 5. By this were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. Everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. The isles is a reference to the Gentile nations. Ye people from afar. See, people not close to the nation of Israel are being spoken to by the Lord through Isaiah. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I do not think anyone hearing my voice this morning claims physical descent from Abraham. You're a child of Abraham through faith in Christ Jesus. That's a spiritual reality. But I do not believe anyone here this morning claims physical descent from Abraham. All of you, myself included, are Gentiles. Therefore, the Word of God speaks to you. And I would say that New England is far off from physical Israel. Therefore, the Word of God speaks to New England. It speaks to every man, woman, boy, and girl in Massachusetts or in New Hampshire. In every place where there is a Gentile, God is saying, listen, hearken, pay attention to the one who is speaking to you through my Word. If there is no book like the Bible, dear people. There's no book like the Bible that addresses all men, regardless of who they are and regardless of where they are. You could go to the Antarctic, you could go to the Arctic. If there's a man in the Antarctic, if there's a man in the Arctic, the Bible speaks to that man. He may not want what the Bible is saying to him, but God is speaking to all men through His Word. May you hear what the Lord is saying to you through His Word this morning. But the second thing I want to mention by way of introduction is, who is it that is speaking to you? Who is it that is speaking to you through the written Word of God as recorded here in Isaiah 49? Because notice, listen, O isles, unto me. Okay? You're to listen to someone, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. Well, who is the me? Who is the me that is telling you to listen to? Well, the me, my dear people, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to all men through the words of the inspired, infallible prophet Isaiah. Now, why do I say this? Well, what is said about the person speaking in these verses in verse number 6? And he said, it is a light thing that thou should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Now, I will address this glorious verse that reveals truths about Jesus Christ later in the message, but notice, Jesus Christ is the only one who could fulfill what is said here. Jesus Christ is the Savior of all the elect in Israel. Acts 13:23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light to the Gentiles. For what did Simeon say about Christ as a child when he was brought to the temple by Joseph and Mary? Luke chapter 2, just verses 29 to 32. Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Well, who is Simeon looking at? He's looking at the Christ child. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. What did the people of Samaria say about Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 42? And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. People who say that Jesus Christ has nothing to say to them need to realize that he speaks to all men through the Bible. People who think that they can understand the Bible without seeing Jesus Christ prophesied in it and speaking through it are not using the Bible correctly. Jesus Christ is the key that unlocks the Scriptures. Because what does Jesus do when he walks with the two men on the Emmaus Road? What does he do? He rebukes them for not seeing him revealed and declared in the Scriptures. Luke 24, verses 25 to 27. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. What does he say to the men that the two men spoke to after he appears to them? Later in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and 45, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. If you do not see Jesus Christ revealed in the Scriptures, I can say to you this morning, you're not seeing the Scriptures correctly. Look for Jesus Christ in the Bible, because he is revealed from Genesis through to Revelation. And wonder of wonders, my dear people, in Isaiah 49, he is prophetically speaking to you. Well, what is it that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to know about him? First, he wants you to know his calling. Verse 1 again of Isaiah 49, listen, O isles, unto me. Listen, you Gentiles, unto me. And hearken, ye people from afar. Hearken, ye residents of Massachusetts. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. What an amazing thing is the Bible. When it speaks of Christ, and when Christ speaks through it, Jesus Christ is revealing what is going to happen when he is conceived in the womb of Mary the Virgin. For what does John the Baptist do when he is even himself in the womb of Elizabeth, his mother? What does he do when Mary enters his mother's home? He leaps for joy! Because he was a forerunner of the Messiah, and the Messiah was there in the very womb of Mary. The forerunner of the Messiah testifying to his presence even from the womb. But even while Jesus Christ is in his mother's womb, who makes mention of his name? The angel of the Lord to Joseph. Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21. But while he thought in these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, even from the womb. He's testified to being the Savior of the world. And here in Isaiah, you have the Lord saying, listen to this, it is going to be fulfilled. What spiritual ignorance, my dear people, is displayed by men when they dare, and my dear people, it is present in our world today. But what spiritual ignorance is displayed by men when they dare treat the Lord Jesus Christ as simply a good teacher and prophet? Yes, he is the good teacher, no greater teacher than Jesus Christ. Yes, he is a prophet. No, he is the prophet prophesied of by Moses, but he is also God incarnate. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. For how can, see, this is the wonder of it. How can he speak of something that is yet to take place unless he already exists? The Lord is speaking to you through Isaiah. This was written centuries before he was incarnated in the womb of Mary. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God the Son knew what God the Father had perfectly agreed upon before it took place in space-time history. God the Son would take sinless humanity into union with His eternal deity in the womb of Mary. And here you have that revealed. Even as the Lord speaks before it takes place. Is it any wonder that the heavens resounded with the praises of the heavenly host when the Son of God had been born? People who mock and reject the truth of the virgin conception of Christ need to hear what Jesus Christ thinks of it. What's He saying? Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath He made mention of my name. You mock it. You reject it. But I'm telling you, you should listen to what I'm saying about it. But what else does Jesus Christ want you to know about Him through Isaiah? Well, second this morning, notice the first part of verse 2. And He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. Is this not what is said about Jesus Christ in the very last book of the Bible? You need the whole Bible to understand the whole Bible. Revelation 1, verse 16, and He hath had in His right hand seven stars, and out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. Revelation 19, verse 15, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Oh, my dear people, how much foolish and false things are taught as coming out of the book of Revelation. Whereas the one you should see being preeminently displayed and revealed there, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not mentioned. But consider as well, what does Hebrews 4, verse 12 say? For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Read this verse in light of the Gospels. Read this verse, Hebrews 4, verse 12, in light of the Gospels. Do you not see Jesus displaying Himself as the incarnate Word of God? Notice there, the Word of God is quick and powerful, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What was true about the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked on the earth? He was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of those who He was speaking to. He knew what His enemies were thinking. Matthew 9:4, and Jesus knowing their thoughts,
said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? See, he knew. He knew what his enemies were trying to do as they tried to present themselves as honest questioners. He's a sharp, double-edged sword. You can't put anything over on the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew as they tried to present themselves to him, well, we're honest questioners. But notice in Matthew 22, verses 16 to 18, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teach the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regard not the person of man. See, you know, we see who you are. But what were they trying to do? They were trying to capture Jesus on the horns of dilemma concerning that coin. Verse 17, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? See, they thought, oh, we've got him. You know, we'll present ourselves as really wanting to know this answer, but what we're trying to do is capture this man. Because if he says, don't pay taxes, then he's going to be in trouble with the Romans. But if he says, pay taxes, then everyone else is going to reject him. But what do you see Jesus doing? It's the sharp, double-edged sword, discerner of the thought and intents of the heart. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 22. But Jesus perceived their wickedness. And said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? He knew what they were trying to do. What is recorded of the teaching of Jesus in Mark 1:22? And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Read through the Gospels. The Jesus of the infallible Gospels is not someone who is afraid to correct. He's not someone who is afraid to challenge. He is not afraid to rebuke. When he calls the scribes and Pharisees, what they are in Luke 11, verse 44, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. See, he tells them honestly what they are. You're hypocrites. You're professing to be something that you're not. And when a lawyer takes offense at what Jesus has just said, because he knows what Jesus has just said has application to him, does the Lord soften what comes out of his mouth? I got to dull my sword a little bit here. You know, I mean, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to upset anybody. Not at all. Luke 11, verses 45 and 46. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproach us also. Oh, I certainly don't want to rebuke you as well. Forgive me. I mean, I didn't get enough sleep last night. And is that what Jesus does? He doesn't do that at all, dear people. He's a sharp, two-edged sword. He cuts. He exposes. And he's not afraid to rebuke men. And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. What Jesus clearly declared offended and annoyed these religious hypocrites, but he knew if they were not cut with the truth, they would never face the truth of who they really are. They were religious hypocrites. But rather than being cut to the heart in repentance, the majority of the scribes and Pharisees did what? They went out and plotted with the Herodians how they might destroy him. Oh, my dear people, if you honestly speak the truth in love like the Lord Jesus Christ did, don't be surprised that people get annoyed and offended at you. They got annoyed and offended at Christ. Now what is the third thing that Jesus declares about himself through Isaiah? The middle and end of verse 2. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me. Now if you are correctly understanding and reading the Old Testament and all that it reveals about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, you see that he is the only one who could have fulfilled and has fulfilled what is written about the Messiah.
He accomplished all that his father asked him to do. But what did the majority of the Jewish nation in the first century, who should have seen that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, refuse to do? They refused to see the truth about who Jesus Christ is. When the Magi came asking, "Where is he who has been born, King of the Jews?" Who went down with them to Bethlehem? No one. The true Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was not the false Messiah they had come to expect. They would not accept the truth that the Lord had revealed about the Messiah. Therefore, the truth of who Jesus Christ is was hidden from them. He came to his own, and his own received him not. See, if you do not accept the biblical revelation of Jesus Christ, God is not going to give you one that suits your depraved needs. He was hidden. Because the first century Jew, they wanted a Messiah that was going to thump the Romans. They wanted a political Messiah. Not a Messiah that would save them from the greatest need of all, save them from their sins. Jesus Christ is the servant of the Lord, through whom the Lord will be glorified, which is the fourth thing Jesus declares about himself. Verse 3. And said unto me, "Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Now remember, Jesus Christ fulfills all the types and shadows revealed about him in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the servant of the Lord, as Isaiah will more fully reveal in Isaiah 52 and 53. But how does Jesus Christ fulfill the truth about Israel? How is Israel a type of Christ? And said unto me, "Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Well, Israel refers not only to the nation of Israel that physically descended from the man Israel, but it also refers to the man Israel. But prior to Israel being given the name Israel, what was his name? His name was Jacob. His name was changed. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. But why was he given the name Israel? Genesis 32, verse 28. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Israel prevailed with God in prayer. But what could Jesus Christ say? John 11, verse 42, "And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Jacob was given the name Israel because he wrestled with God in prayer, but his wrestling was but a foreshadowing of a far greater wrestling in prayer by the one who is the Prince and Savior of his people. Hebrews 5, verse 7, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." Israel, Jacob's name was changed Israel because he wrestled with God in prayer. Oh, who can measure the prayer that was offered up by the Lord Jesus unto his Father? And as he says in John 11, he always heard his Son. And what does God say? And what does God the Father say about Jesus Christ at the end of verse 3? "And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Who's going to be glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ? God is. And my dear people, that's one of the wonderful things of reading the Old Testament in light of the New. Because what is said more than once in the Gospels about Jesus Christ. I'll just give you a few verses. What is said? The end of verse 3 here. What is said prophetically here about the Lord Jesus Christ? "In whom I will be glorified." God the Father is at work speaking about Jesus Christ prophetically here through Isaiah. "In whom I will be glorified." What do you read in the Gospels? Matthew 9:8. "But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God." When they saw what Jesus Christ was doing, they glorified God. Matthew 15:31. "Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel."
How did they glorify the God of Israel? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, through what He was doing. Mark 2, verse 12, and immediately arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Luke 7, 16, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen among us. And that God had visited His people, Luke 13, 13. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Luke 17, 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He will glorify me. And that's what you see throughout the Gospels. Men testifying and glorifying God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 23, 47, now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And what was Jesus able to say, like no man has ever been able to say, except Him, John 17, verse 4, I have glorified Thee on the earth, I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do, fulfilling the very things that are written of here. He shall glorify me. I have glorified Thee on the earth. And oh, my dear people, when you see this reality repeated time and time and time again in the Gospels, I say to you without any word of hesitation, it is utter blasphemy for anyone to dare put Jesus Christ in a category with others. He is in a category that has only one person in it, Himself. He glorified God on the earth. No one else can make this claim. Men show the darkness that resides upon their minds when they dare to equate a vindictive, malicious, immoral man like Muhammad with the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ perfectly glorified His Father. And what does the Father say about Him? Luke 9:35, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is My beloved Son, hear Him. Listen to what He says about Himself in My Word. And what does Christ say next prophetically about Himself? Which is the fifth thing in the first part of verse 4. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught. And in vain. What is the truth being declared here? I believe it is the truth of the obstinate unbelief that Jesus confronted despite all that He did, proving and showing Himself to be the Messiah. It's like, I've labored in vain, as it were. What does Jesus say about those from His hometown? Mark 6, verses 4 to 6. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick and healed them. And verse 6 of Mark 6, and he marveled. He marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. What is said at the end of the Lord's ministry in John 12, verse 37? But though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him. Then I said, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength to naught in vain. The fields were white unto harvest, but the harvest was small when Jesus walked the earth, despite all that He did to clearly show the truth of who He is, the Messiah, because the majority of those who heard Him had been given over to a reprobate mind. As the next verses in John 12 declare, notice John 12 again, verses 37 to 40, but though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. But what does the Lord say through Isaiah as to His reaction to the reprobate hearts of so many to whom He preached and displayed the truth of who He is? Notice the end of verse 4. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. He rests in his Father. He rests in the truth that judgment rests with his Father. The outcome of his work he leaves with God. I preach, I heal, but my Father alone can open the hearts of those he has given me to save. That's why you hear him say this in Luke 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. My dear people, have you ever felt that all your labor for the gospel of Christ, that you're sharing and declaring the truth of who Jesus Christ is, it just seems like it's been lost labor? You give a tract, you testify to the truth that Jesus Christ is the only hope that men have. And it's like water off a duck's back. No one cares, no one's concerned. Consider your Savior. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot speak like He spoke. You cannot do the things He did. And yet people still believe not on Him. Keep your eyes on the example of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Labor on, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because who else can you point people to, my dear people, but the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there anyone else you can point them to? Even if they reject the truth, even if they deny the truth, even if they mock the truth, does their rejection of it change the truth? Does their mocking of it change the truth? Does their indifference to it change the fact that it's true? Who else can you point them to but to the Lord Jesus Christ? There is no other Savior of sinners. Because notice the sixth thing that Jesus Christ declares about Himself through Isaiah 49, verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob again to Him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Jesus Christ knew that He was the servant of the Lord, and His ministry on earth was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And even though the majority in Israel rejected His ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ was and is glorious in the sight of His Father. The Father said this of His Son when He walked the earth, this is my beloved Son. With Him I am well pleased. How pleased must He be with Him since He now sits at His right hand in glory. Jesus Christ was able to finish the work that God had given Him to do because God was His strength. Brother or sister in Christ, remember, however much you think you have failed in your service of your Lord and Savior, and maybe you have failed, it's the Lord who saved you. It's the Lord who sanctifies you. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. It's God who will glorify you. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Don't rest in yourself. Don't look to yourself. Keep looking to Jesus Christ, for He is the only Savior of men, whether Jew or Gentile. Because notice the seventh and last thing that I want to mention this morning, revealed and declared about Christ. And by Christ, as it were, through Isaiah, verse 6 this morning. And He said, it is a light thing that thou should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. What a marvelous, what an amazing book is the Bible. Here you have God speaking to His Son. He's saying, it's a small thing for you to save the elect of Israel. I'm going to make you the Savior of the world. What an amazing book is this book. It's a light thing that thou should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. See, Jesus Christ knew that he would be sent into this world and come into this world not only to save all the elect Jews given to him by the Father, but that he would be the one who would save all his people from whatever nation they were born in throughout the world. And my dear people, that is still going on today. The truth of this verse is still going on today. Because the only Savior that God has given to this world is His Son, Jesus Christ, that thou may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. If anyone is saved in this world, regardless of the country he lives in, it will be through Jesus Christ, because of Christ, because He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him, because the Father has given Him to the world to be the Savior of the world. And I ask you very pointedly as I close this morning, I ask you, are you listening to what Jesus Christ is saying to you through Isaiah? Don't sit here this morning, if I can be blunt. Don't sit here and say, well, Jesus Christ isn't saying anything to me. Jesus Christ is speaking to you through this word this morning. Are you listening to what Jesus Christ is saying to you through Isaiah? I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. I'm speaking to Gentiles. Jesus Christ is speaking to you. I could name every one of you here this morning. I know the names of every one of you. I could personalize it. I could say, Jesus Christ is speaking to you, Dale. Jesus Christ is speaking to Alice and Dale. Everyone else in here. He is the only Savior of the Jews. He is the only Savior of Gentiles. He is the only Savior of man that God has given. Are you trusting in Him alone? Are you believing in Him alone as the Savior of your soul? It is utter folly not to, is it not? Is it not utter folly not to trust in the only one who God has sent into this world to be the Savior of the world? Isn't that the most foolish thing to do? It is. Because the reason that God sent His Son into this world of lost and sinful men was to save lost and sinful men, that thou may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. If you are looking to anything or anyone else to save your sinful soul other than Jesus Christ, you are looking in the wrong place. Look to Jesus Christ and live. Because He was given of the Father to be the salvation unto the ends of the earth. You want to know who Jesus Christ is? He is God's Savior. Not that God needs saving. Jesus Christ is God's Savior. He is the only one that God has sent into this world to save sinful men. And so, I've shown you, I believe that He is speaking to all men. If you are a Gentile, and every one of you here this morning is a Gentile, Jesus Christ is speaking to you. He is the one and the only one that God has sent into the world to save sinful men. And so I can simply make it as personal as I can. Is He your Savior? If He's the only Savior of sinful men, if He's the only Savior that God has sent into this world to save sinful men, is He your Savior? If he is, you will rejoice that he is, and in everything that he is pleased to reveal and declare about himself through his word. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be my Savior. And all God's people said, Amen. May you know the blessing of being able to say that God sent His Son into the world to save sinners, even me. Let us pray.